Good evening. If you need a Bible, please do raise your hand. Jim hasn't run far enough today, so he will bring one to you. And turn to page 1183 to start with, Colossians chapter 2. The verse we're looking at is actually Colossians 4:17, but Colossians 2 verse 6 and 7 are the kind of key verses in the book of Colossians. So we'll start there. Colossians 2, verse 6. Paul writes to this church, and he says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And then flick over one page to chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 10. "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." This is God's word to us this evening. Please have your Bibles open at Colossians chapter 4, page 1185. And let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we thank you so much that we can stand on every promise of your word, because your word is a firm foundation. It is sure and secure. We're really sorry for how often we don't do that, where we fail to stand on every promise of your word. And we ask that as we open it up now, you would speak to us and you would help us by faith to stand on what we hear, to have confidence in it. And we ask it through the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, today, you may have seen, was the London Marathon. Running a marathon is easy to begin. It's much harder to continue, and it's harder still to complete. It's hard to be a completer. Marathon runners will tell you that running the race is 80% mental, 80% in your mind, battling the temptation to give up. Many give up before they even get to the start line. The training is just too hard. And even on the day, as your energy drips away and your body is sore, it's like a voice in your head saying, "Give up. Stop running." Your eyes lift beyond the crowd, and I'm talking like I know what, as if I've ever done one. I haven't. But you can imagine that your eyes lift beyond the crowd, and you see a little coffee shop, and there's a spare seat, and they're selling donuts. And you think, "Oh, it's just not worth the effort. I'll just have a little sit down." The voice inside your head says, "You've done so well to get this far. Just have a break." And the temptation is real because, well, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's tiring. It's uncomfortable. It's slow. It feels like you're getting nowhere. So what do marathon runners need? They need other people who will encourage them to be completers, to complete the race. They need friends to train with, who'll push them on through the rain and through the cold and through the early mornings and through the sore knees. Keep going. Keep going. They need the crowds lining the course, cheering on every last athlete. Keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. Finish the race. Be a completer. Tonight we meet a man who needs the encouragement to be a completer. His name's Archippus. I have a real struggle saying his name. We could call him Mr. Chippy, but I think we'll just call him Archie for tonight. And there's a specific instruction for Archie in verse 17. Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17, look down at that. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Don't give up. Keep going. Be a completer. Now, we only have two verses in the whole Bible about this man, Archie, but we can piece his story together like bits of a jigsaw puzzle. And it all goes back to the time where the Apostle Paul is on his missionary journeys, preaching the glorious gospel of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus who had lived a perfect life, who had died on the cross as the sinner's substitute and had risen from the dead. And Paul went around saying, as you put your faith and trust in him, you can know the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as Paul traveled around with this incredible message, he gets to a place called Ephesus, which is on the west coast of Turkey. And in Ephesus, Paul had an astonishingly fruitful ministry. You can read about it in Acts chapter 19. He stayed there for over 2 years teaching the people there. And the Bible tells us that his impact was so widespread that every Jew and Greek in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Amazing. And among those who believed were two key men, Epaphras and Philemon. Epaphras, Colossians 1 tells us, is the one who picks up the baton. He takes this message of the risen Lord Jesus and he takes it back to Colossae. In Colossae, where he comes from, he teaches this amazing gospel message, and as he teaches, people believe. And so a church is formed in the house of Philemon, Epaphras and Philemon. And in Paul's letter to Philemon, which we have recorded for us in the Bible, it's called Philemon, we read in that letter that in that household was Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus. So it seems like Archie was the son of Philemon. So Archie lives in a house where there is a church meeting, and it's a safe bet to assume that he is fairly heavily involved in this local church. Now, Paul has never met any of this church family, or not many of them, but now he sends this letter to them. And his purpose, as we read in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, his purpose is that the church in Colossae would be completers, that they would continue on in their faith, that they would be fruitful trees rooted in Jesus. Paul says to them, don't give up, keep going, be a completer. And you can imagine them reading this letter as they sat perhaps in their living room, all round in a circle. And they're reading this letter together. And as they get right to the end of the letter and the last few greetings, Archie's ears prick up because there's a command directly to him. Read verse 17 again with me. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Be a completer. Part of what it means to continue in Christ is to complete the work that he's given us. And Archie needed reminding. Perhaps he was tempted to give up. He needed someone to come to him and say, keep going. And he's not alone. As Christians, we are going to be tempted to give up halfway. We all need this encouragement to be completers. It's not something we need just once. It's not like if someone says that once, we're set for the rest of our lives. This is something we continually need to hear. So whoever we are this evening, this is a message for us. So what I want to do this evening is first ask, okay, what is this work? As we're on active service, what is the work that has been given to us to complete? And then I want to just briefly look at the end, in terms of application, the particular ways in which we are tempted to give up and see how the book of Colossians answers some of those things. But firstly, complete the work. What is this work? Well, it's a work that is firstly given by the Lord. Look at the verse again with me. Can you see there? The work Archie was given is a work at the end you have received in the Lord. Received in the Lord. That's a crucial phrase. That tells us something of the utmost importance. What it tells us is that the work we do is not what we do to become Christians, it's what we do because we are Christians. It's a work that is given to us, not offered by us. It is received. I used to work for an electronics company. I sat at a desk, and my boss sat right there, and his boss sat right behind me. They obviously didn't trust me not to spend my time on Facebook. But either of those bosses, they could have given me work to do. So they would give me work, and I would receive it from them. Now, the only reason they gave me that work to do is because I was employed by the company. I didn't get the job by doing the work. I got the job, and then they gave me the work to do. Now, it's a silly example, but it makes sense, doesn't it? Working for Jesus is not something that we do in a desperate attempt to make him hire us. The only reason the Lord gives us work to do is because he has already done for us what we could never do for ourselves. He died on the cross in my place. He took the punishment that I deserve for all of those times that I've tried to do things on my own terms. Through his death and resurrection, I am given new life, and I am transferred onto his team where he gives me work to do. It's really, really important that we get this. Working for Jesus is not how we get saved by Jesus. If you're not a Christian tonight, please hear me clearly on this. You will not be saved by trying as hard as you can to do things that might somehow please God. Your place on Jesus' team is not based on how impressive your CV is. Instead, it's based on the perfect CV of the Lord Jesus on your behalf. And so, at the outset, if you haven't done so already, please stop trying to work your way into God's good books. That's not how it works. Confess that you're not good enough. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. You see, the work that we're called to complete is given by the Lord. And so anyone who is in the Lord has been given work to do. This isn't just a command to Archie as he sat there in the living room in Colossae. It was a command also actually to the rest of the church family and to us today. In any team, there are different roles. You'll know that if you've ever played team sport or if you're involved in a team at work. You'll know that different people have different strengths and weaknesses. There's different responsibilities and different roles to be done. But in Jesus' team, there is no bench. There is no sideline to be on. There is no one who is not involved in the thick of the action. There's no one who's taken a break. This command is for all of Christ's people, and there are no exceptions to that. Did you know there is no such thing as a retired Christian? You might be a Christian who's retired, but you're not a retired Christian. There may be occasions where it's time to move on to a slightly different role within Jesus' team. But all Christians at all times are on active service. That's the name of this series, and that's what we are. We are those who are on active service with a job to complete. There's a lady that Peter, the pastor of Causeway, who's here somewhere, there he is. Peter met her a few weeks ago in a care home after he'd led a service there. She's 101 years old, and she loves the Lord Jesus. And she said this to Peter after the service, and she said, you know, I'm really looking forward to going home to be with Jesus in heaven. She said, I'm not even sure why he hasn't taken me there yet. I don't know why I'm still here. Here's the reason, and this is what Peter told her. The reason is because she's got work to do. She's got a job to complete. Jesus is only going to take her home when her work is finished. So perhaps this evening you're tempted to give up and you think, it's not for me. I get what Luke's saying, but he's talking about the people around me, but not me. I'm too old. I've done my shift. I'm busy with life, so I'll have to, you know, I'll do it later. Someone else can do the work. Here's the thing. If you are in the Lord, you have been given work to do. And the encouragement from God's word this evening is to be a completer. The second thing about this work is that it's all about the Lord. It's given by the Lord, and it's all about the Lord. So as we read this verse, we're not told what Archie's work was. Perhaps he sat there with a warm and red face as he, amongst the church family, was called out. Maybe there was something that he knew he had failed to do. I don't know. But it doesn't matter that we don't know what Archie's job was, because my job isn't Archie's job, and your job is not Archie's job. But have a look back across the page to chapter 3 and verse 23. They've just read this as a church family. They've just heard these verses. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So if we are in the Lord, whatever we do is the work the Lord has given us. Let me say that again. If we are in the Lord, whatever we do is the work the Lord has given us. It would be wrong to think that the work that Jesus has given us is just the stuff that, you know, the church staff do on our behalf. It would be wrong to think that the work Jesus has given us, that's just talking about, you know, when I've got that particular evangelistic conversation with someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. And when I'm speaking to them, that's the work that God has given me to do. But the rest of the time, well, it doesn't really count. That time isn't really valuable. It doesn't really count as serving the Lord. We might be tempted to think that the work Jesus has given us to do, well, that's talking about the stuff that goes on within this building. It's about the stuff we do at church. But that's not the case. The Bible gives us a really healthy view of work and life. It says, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Jesus is both Savior and Lord. He's my Savior because He alone can save me from the death I deserve by His death on the cross. And He's my Lord because He is the boss. He is the boss of every inch and every second of my life. It's all about the Lord. And therefore, if that is the case, the way we go about every inch and every second of our life should be designed to bring honor to the Lord who we're serving. So if you work, your work is not simply about getting food on the table or about paying the mortgage or saving up for the next holiday or providing for the kids. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. So work in a way which honors His name. If you're retired, if you're out of work, the same is true. Whatever tasks and conversations and appointments and relationships fill your day, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. So live in a way which honors His name. If you're at school, it's not just about learning facts or making friends or passing tests or going to university. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. So learn in a way which honors His name. Parents, it's not just about getting to the end of the day in one piece. It's not just about making sure the house is tidy and the kids are clean. It's not about giving them nice experiences. It's more than that. Jesus has given you work to do as a mum or a dad or a grandparent. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. So bring them up in a way which honors His name. How we serve at church. It's not just about getting the job done and filling the rota and making up the numbers. It's more than that. It's the Lord Christ we're serving. So we should serve with joy and thankfulness. I think we probably get the point. We could go on for the rest of time because it says, whatever you do, whatever season we're in, Whatever work the Lord has given us at this time in our lives, it's all about Him. And it's really important that we remember that. Can I offer a practical suggestion that might help? This week, when I was studying this passage, I took a post-it note, and I wrote on the post-it note, "It's the Lord Christ you're serving," and it is stuck up on my computer screen. Maybe you work on a computer, why not do that? Or maybe you don't, maybe you work at home or whatever it might be, but find a place, perhaps on the fridge or on a blackboard or a reminder on your phone at an appropriate time each day so that you're reminded it's the Lord Christ you're serving. Every second and every inch of our life is about the Lord. And the third thing about this work, it's a work that is modeled by the Lord. Jesus is the great completer. Jesus had work to do, and he finished the job. It was a work that you and I could never do. If you read, for example, John's Gospel, you'll see that Jesus speaks about his work, the work that his Father had given him to do. His work was to do the will of the Father. And every inch and every second of Jesus' life was about serving his Father in obedience to his will. Jesus was sent to this world to make God known to this world. He was sent to be a light in a dark place, in the way that he lived, in the things that he did, in the words that he spoke. And that was hard work. You can read about it in the Gospels. It was tiring. It meant long days and sleepless nights. It meant getting up early to pray. And you can read about Jesus being hungry and thirsty and tired. It was uncomfortable. The Bible says in John's Gospel, the world did not recognize him. In fact, they rejected him, and the Son of Man didn't have a place to lay his head. It often looked slow and unimpressive. You can read again in John's Gospel about this time where all the crowds that had followed the Lord Jesus, these crowds that were flocking to him, and they all just melt away. And Jesus and his disciples are left alone. Jesus' work was to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His work was to be lifted up and crucified so that everyone who looked to him could know their sins forgiven and the gift of eternal life. Would any of us have continued? Would we have completed that task, knowing what was ahead for him? There's no way. But as Jesus hung on the cross, as he bore the punishment that I deserve, as he breathes his last, what is it that he cries out? It is finished. Complete. You know when you get to the end of a really long and busy day and finally all the jobs are done and at last you get that opportunity to sit down, to put your feet up and to enjoy a cup of tea. There's nothing better, is there? That's probably very British of me. Hebrews tells us that Jesus sat down, not because he needed a rest, but because his work is done. He is the great completer. It's true that Jesus is still working. The Bible says he's interceding for us right now. He sustains the stars and the planets by his powerful words. But the saving work, the sacrifice which is the basis of our salvation, is done. And isn't that a wonderful thing? That is the basis of our confidence as followers of Jesus. It's the basis of our joy. Jesus is sitting. If you're ever tempted this week to worry about, is it all true? Can I really trust that Jesus has taken away my sin? I've sinned again. What's going to happen? Just remember that Jesus is sitting. Jesus is sat down because his work is done. We're not still waiting. It's not like the final bit of the contract needs to be, you know, finalized and signed. It's over. It's finished. It's complete. If you haven't yet done so, please trust in this Lord Jesus, the one who has done it for you. And as we do trust in him, he gives us this work to do, a work to complete. Our work, to summarize, our work is to do everything that we do for the Lord Christ. That's what we've seen so far. Our work is to do everything that we do for the Lord Christ, to live every second and every inch serving the Lord who served us. But just like a runner halfway through a marathon, we might well be tempted to give up. Just like Archie, we need the encouragement to be a completer. Giving up isn't normally something that happens overnight. Marathon runners slow down before they stop. We've seen that our job is to do everything, live every second and every inch for the Lord Jesus. And the danger is we kind of slide away from that slightly. We begin to take a few seconds off and then a few minutes off. We begin to stop battling that sinful temptation. We begin to segment our lives like an orange. So we cut it up into little segments and we say, Jesus can be Lord of this part of my life, but this part is just easier if he's not. It's just easier if I do this for myself, and then when I come to church, Jesus can be Lord. So what I want to do is I want to briefly consider three reasons why we might be tempted to give up and to stop, and then see how they are answered in the book of Colossians. So the first is, it's tiring. Serving the Lord Christ is tiring. Archie, he has passed the glamorous stage. No doubt, at the start, that church plant was quite exciting. It was all fresh. It was new. This wonderful message had come from Epaphras. And in their house, there was all these people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. But now it's not as fresh as it was. And working for Jesus is tiring, isn't it? Don't you agree with that this evening? A few nodded heads. That's good. It is tiring to do everything for the Lord Christ. And perhaps you feel tired this evening. Each week as you go to work, you're trying to serve in a way, when you do your job, to serve in a way which is serving the Lord Christ. But that's tiring, because it means that everything must be done to the best of your ability. Everything must be done without cutting corners where that would be wrong. When everyone else is clocking off early and your boss isn't around, it's the Lord Christ you're serving, and that's tiring. That means going the extra mile. Well, perhaps there's a ministry that you're involved in here at church, and you've been doing it for ages and ages, and you're just exhausted. You think, I don't know if I've got the energy to carry on with this. Maybe as a parent, you're trying to honor the Lord in the way that you bring up your kids, but that's an extra thing to squeeze into an already busy life, and you just think, oh, this is tiring. No, I'm tired tonight. And the temptation when we're tired is to take those seconds off, to say, oh, I can't be bothered to battle that sin because it's just too tiring. It'll be easier just to give in. To say, oh, I'm going to have a bad attitude today because that takes less energy than having a good attitude. When we're tired, we can be tempted to give up. But flick back a page to chapter 1 and verse 29. Paul is talking about the work that the Lord has given him to declare, to proclaim and admonish people with the good news of Christ. And verse 29, he says, to this end I labor, that's a hard word, struggling, that's a hard word, but look, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Do you see the point? It's Jesus' energy working in Paul. As we serve the Lord Christ, it is not based on our efforts and our strength. Rather, it is Jesus, by the power of his Spirit, who enables us and equips us and empowers us and gives us the energy to serve him. It's Jesus' energy working in you. That's a great reminder when we're feeling tired and tempted to give up. Don't try and do things in your own strength. Work hard, yes, labor, struggle. Work hard. But lean on him for your strength. Keep going. Be a completer. If you're feeling tired this evening, let me encourage you from God's word. Be a completer. The second thing, it's uncomfortable. Marathon runners know that. Archie knows that. In Philemon, he's described as a fellow soldier. Believe it or not, I've never been a soldier. But I can imagine it's quite uncomfortable work. And Paul, he is writing this letter of Colossians from prison because there is serious persecution going on for Christians, for those who trust and follow the Lord Jesus. So that's the kind of atmosphere that they're living in at this time. And Archie, he has a house church meeting in his home. That's an uncomfortable situation to be in. And maybe we're tempted to give up because working for Jesus is uncomfortable. We naturally and sinfully want to take the path of least resistance. I would serve in church in that particular way, but also it would be really nice just to have an evening in. I would talk to my friends about Jesus, but they're just going to think I'm stupid and it'll be uncomfortable. Maybe it would be easier just to do the orange thing and to divide my life into little segments. I'm happy to live all out for Jesus in certain areas. So when I'm around at church, maybe even at home, that's fine. But when I'm at school, I'm going to be at school. I'm going to do that. When I'm at work, that's just about me getting through work. When I'm on holiday, well, that's a holiday. Surely Jesus can't have that part of my life. Doing the work that Jesus has given us all the time is uncomfortable. So next time you have an orange, every time you have an orange, or a chocolate orange if you're not a fruit fan, every time you have anything with segments in it, why not think of this? Think, is my whole life devoted every second and every inch to serving the Lord Christ? It's uncomfortable, but Paul says, keep going. It's worth it. So look at verse 24 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 24. This is Paul again, and he says, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul knew what it meant to suffer, but he says he rejoices in it. And why is that? Well, look at verse 27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. No matter how uncomfortable it might get, Paul knows that it's worth it. Yes, it is uncomfortable. But as we live serving the Lord Christ, he is making known the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's doing that through us. That's an amazing thing. It's worth it. Keep going, even if it is uncomfortable. Be a completer. And the third thing that might cause us to want to stop is it's slow. It's hard going. It's unimpressive. It doesn't seem to be doing anything. I once had an Airfix model of a big boat. You know what I mean by Airfix? The kind of plastic things where it all comes in bits and you have to glue it together and paint all of the bits. And this boat was amazing, and I looked at the box and I thought, that looks incredible. And so I was really excited about this project, but I never finished it. It was much slower progress than I'd hoped. And then a couple of the bits got broken, and it just wasn't quite as impressive as I had hoped, and I gave up. Is that how you feel about the work that Jesus has given you? Perhaps you started out full of enthusiasm. I've got this new job. I'm going to put Jesus on display as I go to this new work environment. I'm going to make the best use of my time in my retirement. I'm going to bring up my kids in a way that honors the Lord Jesus. And now it feels a little bit flat. That initial excitement has faded. We think things like, I've been praying for that person for ages and it hasn't made any difference. I've been doing kids clubs for years. And there's just so little visible fruit. What's the point in being a completer? Isn't it easier just to sit in that coffee shop with a donut? But look at chapter 1 and verse 6. Keep going because it's working. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it, and understood God's grace in all its truth. It may not seem like it, but the gospel is growing. It's bearing fruit. And as we complete the work the Lord has given us, as we serve the Lord Christ in whatever we're doing, that is the fruit of the gospel on display. Christians who have received Jesus, who stand firm in Jesus, and who live to serve Jesus, that is gospel fruit. So don't give up. Keep going. Be a completer. It's working. Now, it might be tonight that you're not actually feeling a particularly strong temptation just to pack it all in and give up. That's good. Two things. Number one, be on your guard, because this temptation will come and it will keep coming. But number two, as we close, can I just say, we've all got a really important role to play in this. Look at the first two, if you flick back to chapter 4, verse 17, and look at the first two words of our verse. Tell Archippus. This is an instruction to the church family as they sit in the living room and read this letter together. See, Archie was sat there on one of the chairs, and he needed encouragement. Perhaps none of them realized that he needed encouraging, but he did. Paul knew. Archie needed his friends to gather round and encourage him to be a completer. And this is something we need to do for each other. Just like the marathon runner who needs friends to train with and needs the crowd to cheer him on, we need people to draw alongside and say, keep going. So can we do that? Maybe in the conversations after this service? Let's encourage each other. Is the Lord Christ you're serving? Perhaps this week as we bump into each other in town or spend time together, or even if you don't see anyone this week, but you could send a text or an email. Why not just say, keep going, be a completer, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. That would be a good reminder. We've come to the end of our series on active service. And during this series, we've seen pen portraits of some lesser-known individuals that we find in the Bible who are all soldiers in Jesus' army. But it's not just about them. It's about us. Every believer in the Lord Jesus is on active service. If you're following the Lord Jesus, you have been given work to complete. Do you feel like giving up? The encouragement of tonight's passage is to be a completer. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to praise you and thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the Lord Jesus who completed the work he had been given to do. We praise you that he did not give up. We thank you that he went right to the end, even though that meant a cross. We praise you that as he cried out, "It is finished," it really was finished. Help us never to try and work to earn our salvation. We could never do what Jesus has done for us. But as those who trust in him, please would you equip us to be those who get to the finish line, who complete the work that you have given us to do in Jesus. And would we be a real encouragement to each other in this? Thank you that we have a church family and we can tell each other, keep going, be a completer. We pray this, Lord, so that your name might be honored, that we would continue in the Lord, rooted and built up in Jesus, and that across the world and in this local area, this gospel would bear much fruit to the glory and the praise of your great name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.